Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Take your seats again. Give our band a big clap. Big thank you. Great job. Awesome. So good. I've got three kids, and look, you probably know it, but I'm going to tell you. I've got three kids. I've got Joelle, who is 13. I have Ethan, who is 10, and I got Roman, who is 3. Well, we've got three kids, my wife and I. And this week, Gabby was away for 3 days, 2 nights, and man, it was a struggle. It was tough. You know, I was dad and mum. I was having to make dinners. I was having to wash clothes, hang out the washing, do the dishes. I was having to sweep, vacuum the house, change bed sheets. I was having to iron clothes. Man, it was tough. I think it's easy for my wife to do it, but hard for me to do it. Whoa, that went down really bad. But it was just amazing that Gav could go away and spend some time with some of the other location pastor wives and just to have just an amazing time with them. And it was actually incredible to see my daughter, Joelle. She just helped out so much. It was incredible. In fact, at one stage I said, okay, alien, what have you done with my daughter? Because I like that you're doing great, but where's my daughter? You know, like, where's the real Joelle? And she just did amazing, so, so good. And hey, parents, we love our kids, don't we? We love our kids. And one thing about our children is that there is an 8-year gap between Ethan and Roman. And so it's amazing to watch your children when they're young and a similar age. But it's another thing when there's children in your house at a certain age, then there's a big gap and there's another child. Because what you see is that you see the older children kind of like care for the younger one. And so I don't know if you may have been brought up in a house where there was a big gap between maybe the oldest and the youngest, but the oldest kind of cares for the youngest ones. And so Joelle and Ethan, they will play with Roman, they will chase him around the house, tickle him and, you know, do all these things. And when I come home at night and it's like 9 o'clock and I'm trying to just chill out, they'll be having a party and running around and making noise and I'll be like, be quiet. And it's like, but it's cool, you know, like they're young. And as we get older, we can get boring, yeah? We can just get like, oh, I just want silence. But it's good to have kids running around the house. So I know when we're away by ourselves or the kids stay over at someone's house, it's so quiet. So quiet. And maybe if you're an empty nester here today, you might know what that's like. It's quiet if the kids aren't around. Well, one of the most amazing things in regards to the older two, Joelle and Ethan and Roman, is just the way that they teach him things. Just the way that they come around him and they help teach him. And look, they teach him a lot of things that I'm like, well, I don't know if you should be teaching him that kind of stuff, you know. But they teach him like they read to him and they play games with him and they do like little jigsaw puzzles with him and they play little cards with him and they teach him how to say different words and he's like Joelle's parrot. Little parrot, like Joelle will say this, and he says it, and she'll say that, and he says that. So it's fun how they teach him, and he echoes these things back. It's great how they praise him. They praise him. They clap him and tell him when he's doing a great job. They tell him how much they love him. They give this praise to him as he does things. And as parents, maybe you can relate to that. With our own children, we praise them. We say, you're doing great. We encourage them with what they're happening in their life. Hopefully, that's what we're doing. I know for a fact we're probably also saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this. But I pray that as parents, that you're praising your children. You're doing well when they're being kind, when they're trying their best. You praise them when they have a go. Maybe you're here today and you don't have children, but perhaps you have a job and you work in the workplace and maybe your manager or your boss tells you, hey, you're doing a great job. Hey, you're doing well. And we like to receive that feedback, don't we? We like to receive that praise. Maybe they give us an award or we get a bonus or a pay rise or something like that. If you think about the movie or TV industry, what do they have? They have the Oscars And the Emmys, what's that? It's basically just like this big praise session where they're saying, hey, you guys are amazing actors. You guys are amazing actresses. You've done so great. We're going to give you these awards and stuff like that. Humans love to receive praise. We love to receive encouragement. We love to be told, hey, you're doing a great job. We appreciate you. We love to receive it. It makes us feel good. Does it make you feel good when someone says, hey, you're doing a good job? Hey, you look great this morning. Hey, man, my life's different because you're in it. Hey, you're just amazing. We love it, don't we? We love it, man. We love that praise that we get. And it makes us feel good. Well, we're finishing today a three-week series called Made for Mondays. Say that with me, Made for Mondays. Made for Mondays. We're finishing this series, and it's a series where we've been talking about the importance of praise and worship. We've been talking about how our life is really to be given as an offering to God in praise and worship. And while we actively seek praise and need it, God doesn't need it. He doesn't need our praise, but it is good for us to praise Him. See, God is all perfect, self-sufficient. You might think to yourselves, man, why is God so needy that He needs our praise? Well, He doesn't need it. He's self-sufficient. He has everything He needs. But what He does is He delights in our praise. He doesn't need our praise, but He delights in our praise. The praise of God is more for our benefit. It does something inside of us. It changes us. It changes us. It can change our circumstances. It can change the way we think as we praise and worship God. Does something inside us. And we've been saying that praise and worship isn't just three or four songs we sing on a Sunday. It's much more than that. If you thought that, oh, I'm going to do praise and worship this week when I come to church for the first 20 minutes of the church service, that's not what praise and worship is. It's not just on a Sunday. Praise and worship is from Monday to Sunday. It's for every day of the week. We can live a life of praise and worship. We're not called to worship. God made us to worship. God has made us to worship. No doubt about it. We've been made to worship. That's why so many people will go to the footy and shout out praise to their favorite footy player. That's why so many people will go to a concert and they'll shout out praises to some person. A celebrity, a movie star, a singer, a spouse, even a child. That's why we will worship people in our lives, because we were made to worship. Made to worship. The thing is, we're not called to worship creation. We're called to worship the Creator. We don't worship creation. We worship the Creator. So in our lives, we need to take a moment, and I really want to encourage you with this. Take a moment out of your life. Take some time out of what it is that you do during the week and just reflect and think about, what is it that I am worshiping? What is it that I am worshiping? What am I giving my time to? What am I devoting myself to? Is it to a spouse or a child or my bank account? Or is it to my intellect? Or is it to something else that I'm worshiping, that I'm giving my time to? Or am I worshiping God? Maybe you're worshiping the bad in your life. You say, that's weird, but people do that. They have a moment in time where something bad happens and they camp around that place for the rest of their life, then they come daily and they worship that thing. What you give yourself to, you will worship. What you will give your time to, you will worship. What you give your life to, you will worship. And the fact is, we don't worship in isolation. We worship together. We worship, and you may not know this, but you worship in community. What you worship will affect the lives of the people around you. What you give yourself to will affect the people around you. If you're a parent today, if you're someone who people look up to, if you have friends, what you worship will affect them too. Because what you give your life to affects you and affects the people around you. So you better be giving your life to the right things. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you better be giving your life to the right things. You better be worshiping the right things. You know, we've been looking at seven Hebrew words for praise in the Bible. Seven Hebrew words for praise. And so far we've looked at four of these words. And we've talked about them. And one of the words was to bow down, to be transfixed, to be focused on God. And the another word was spontaneous. We talked about a spontaneous song, to enter into free worship. Another word we talked about said to shout, to shout. You know, have you ever wondered why sometimes in our gathering together we say, hey, why don't we give God some praise right now? Why don't we shout out God's name right now? Well, we do that because the Bible says we should do it. That's a way to praise God. We shout out and we praise the name of Jesus. You know, another word we looked at was to extend your hands. And we talked about how the extension of our hands is a form of surrender, but also a form of victory. We surrender, but we also raise our hands up in victory in Jesus Christ. And so if you miss those messages or you want to hear them again or you want to recap them, you need to jump onto our podcast and have a listen to them this morning. Hey, if you got your notes, if you got your Bibles out, we're going to get started. The first word I want to look at today is the word to door. To door. It means an extension of the hand, a sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving for things not yet received, a choir of worshippers. You know, last week I shared on the word yada, which means to raise our hands, and it's similar to this word here, to door, but it's not really. See, yada is raising our hands in surrender, but also in victory to God for something He has already won us, something He has won us. You know, raising our hands up for the victory He has won us. To door is different. It's a lifting of our hands in the presence of God, not for what He has already done, but what we believe He is going to do. It's a lifting of our hands up. God, I believe in You are going to do something. It's like expectant. It's an anticipation that we have in our spirit. You know, Isaiah shared this morning a little bit early with some of the team. He was talking about how do we come to church? How do we come? Do we come to church with an expectancy that we're going to meet with God? Do we come to church with an expectancy that someone's going to be healed, that someone's going to be saved, that someone's going to be set free from bondage, that someone's going to come in one way and go out a different way? How do we come to church? And it's an expectancy. And that's what this to door kind of talks about. It's a thanksgiving for things not yet received. You could say it's an expectancy of something to come. Who's ever been expectant for something? Maybe you bought a new car and you're expectant for when you're going to receive it. Maybe you can remember back to those of us who are married. You're expectant for the day of marriage. You know, you're expectant for that. Maybe you're starting a new job and you're expectant to start that new job. These things that we're expectant for. Maybe you're going on a holiday. There's an expectation. Does anyone know what I mean when I say there's an expectation that's in our lives? Well, there's an expectation that we can have when it comes to the praise of God. Psalm 56, verse 11, in God I have put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do to me. I think we all know this scripture, you know. It says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do to me. Vows made to You are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises, I will render to door to You. I will render praises to You. See, God will bring an end to all violence, so I lift up my hands in praise. God will release me from bondage, so I lift up my hands in praise. God will provide what I need, so I lift my hands up in praise. God will heal me, so I lift my hands in praise. God will grow this church, so I lift my hands up in praise. There's an expectancy that comes around my life as I lift my hands up in praise. There's something about the anticipation and expectation of something good or great or exciting to come. A couple of years ago, my family and I, we went to America, and we took a trip to America. And one of the places we went to was New York City. And I've got some photos here that I want to show for you at the moment. There's little Roman. He's about 8 months old there. And there's a guy giving us a tour on the bus. He's got that real Yankee accent. And here's one of the streets in New York. And there's the Empire State Building that was there. It's pretty cool. And here we are at the 9/11 memorial, very somber place where the 9/11 was, the Twin Towers. And that's one of the towers that's been built in its place. Wall Street. This is where Wall Street is. We know Wall Street. And there's the Wall Street sign. It's actually very small Wall Street. Wasn't that impressed. There's the Statue of Liberty, the Staten Island Ferry. There's some of the skyline of New York there. And what else we got? Little Italy. We went there, had some pizzas and some gelato. That was good fun. And there's the Late Show. Who's doing the Late Show these days? I don't know who does that. And here we are. Here's the kids, just to prove that we were actually there and I didn't steal these photos from Google. And there's some hotel with American flags. And I think, yeah, here we are looking over Central Park. That's pretty cool. And that's the Empire State Building again. And I think there's a picture of Gab and I. Yeah, there we are. I'm having a bad hair day there. I think I was wearing a hat. And what else? Trump Tower. Boo or clap that, whatever you want to do there. And there's a police car, New York police car. And what else we got? Yeah, here's Times Square. It's pretty busy late at night. And here we go. You know, got to get a photo with the police officers there in Times Square. So that was New York. And I wanted to go there ever since for so long. You know, like you watch movies and where are they? They're either in like LA or they're in America. And so, New York. New York. And so I've been wanting to go there for a long time. And, you know, it's where, you know, you always talk about them talking about the New York Stock Exchange, the NYSE. And so it's the financial capital of the world. And so I've always just wanted to go and experience these places, Statue of Liberty, the Brooklyn Bridge, Grand Central Terminal, Empire State Building, the 9/11 Memorial, what else we got here? Times Square, Central Park, Broadway, all those places. And I remember saying to Gabby and the kids, it's going to be awesome. New York is going to be cool. It's going to be awesome, man. In anticipation, you know, in expectancy, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a great time. And you know what? We did have a great time. It was really good. Sometimes you're like, this is going to be awesome. And then you get there and you're like, oh, this is not so good, you know. But New York was really cool. And one of the nights we were there, I think it was the second night we were there, we were awoken at like 4 o'clock in the morning by these alarms going. These alarms. It was a fire alarm. And we're like, whoa, what's going on here? So we quickly grabbed the kids. I grabbed my phone and my iPad. And then I said, oh, the kids. Grabbed the kids and we ran downstairs. And so that was a bit of an experience being involved in a fire. You know, like a fire was in the building, which there wasn't actually a fire in the building, but it's okay. You know, there's something powerful. You know, I was praising. I was expectant about New York. There's something powerful in our praise given to God in anticipation of something. When we are anticipating God doing something in our lives, when we are expectant, and I just want to ask you, church, what are you expecting for God to do in your life? You know, have you let go of some things? Are you just maybe journeying with God just with, well, this is just my life? But are you anticipating God to do something? Are you anticipating that God can change you? That He can set you free from maybe that sin in your life? That He can transform your life? That He can move in the people that you love around your life? Is there an expectancy around your life? See, there's someone here today and you need to know God has won victories for you in your past, but God still has victories He wants to win for your future. Still in your future. It's not just the past. There's a victory God has planned for your life. He hasn't done all He can do. We don't believe in the God who has done. We believe in the God who has done and who is doing and can do great things in our lives, who can break through and bring deliverance in our lives. See, He's a powerful God, a mighty God. He's an awesome God. And there's future victories in your life and in our church that I am believing for and that I want to encourage you to be believing for and praying for and expecting in your own lives too. I love what C.S. Lewis says. C.S. Lewis says, praise is inner health made audible. Inner health made audible. I want to ask you today, what's your inner health, church? What's your inner health, church? How will you know? You'll know by what comes out of your mouth. You will know by the declaration of your words. You will know by the things that you think. You will know by the attitudes that you have. What is your inner health? Praise is inner health made audible. You can choose to complain about what's not happening. You can choose to complain about what you think should be going on, or you can choose to have Tador praise. You see, you can praise in the negative, or you can praise in the positive. You can praise that God is going to do something great. So you can say, God, I'll raise my hands in thanksgiving, for I know that you are God, and I am grateful no matter what. When was the last time you just said to God, I'm grateful, God, no matter what? I'm grateful, God, no matter what. See, you can say, I know you're preparing for me to receive blessings and purpose you have set aside for me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I think today maybe there's some more people in this place that need to start saying thank you, God. Start giving some Tudor praise. God, I'm expecting. I know that you're going to do something in my life. Tudor, praise of God. The next one I want to look at is a word. It's zamar. It means to make music, to celebrate in song and music, to touch the strings or part of a musical instrument. You know, music is powerful. It sets a mood. It sets an emotion. It sets a feeling. You know, music can just take us to places. It can just change the mood in a room. It can just change things, you know. Have you ever been to a restaurant where there's no music? It's like weird, isn't it? Like when there's no music, it's just like there's no atmosphere. Have you ever been to, I don't know, a pub or something? There's always music. Why? Because it sets an atmosphere. It sets a mood. It sets an environment around our lives. You know, music is powerful. So powerful. And Martin Luther had this to say about music. He said, next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. Beautiful music is the art of the prophets that can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has given us. Music is a present from God. Psalm 144:9, I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. That word praises there is zamar. I will sing praises to you. See, music can soften our hearts. It can soothe our troubled souls. It opens a door to the spiritual world. It paves the road for the Spirit's coming. And that's why, even though we've been saying it's not about four songs on a Sunday, but that is why we start our service with songs on a Sunday. That's why, because it opens a place for us to come meet before God. You know, people coming into this place have all had all kinds of weeks, all kinds of things going through their minds, all kinds of mornings on a Sunday. They're thinking about all kinds of different things, and we want to use music to bring them into a place where they're ready to meet with God, where it refocuses our attention onto God, where it refocuses our energies and where we are looking onto God so that we are ready to meet with Him. We see in the Bible, in fact, in the Old Testament, many times God used musicians or singers or instruments to bring people into His presence. We see that the Old Testament prophets, many times before they would bring a prophecy to a king or to a person, that they would ask, hey, bring out the minstrel, bring out the harp, bring out the lyre, and maybe we need to bring back the harp and the lyre in church service. I don't know, you know, or maybe they've had their day, but we need to. But they would bring out the musicians, what to do, what to bring the presence of God, to bring the presence of God, to prepare them to hear the word of God, and so music can prepare us to hear a word from God. That's what zamar is. It's allowing music to prepare our heart to hear from God. And zamar in this context means to play a musical instrument. And perhaps here today you don't play a musical instrument. Well, that's fine. That's okay. You don't have to know how to play a musical instrument to engage in zamar praise. We can appreciate music and how it is a vehicle to carry us into the presence of God. But today I want to ask the question, if you are a musician in this place, I want to ask you, is the way you play your instrument zamar praise? Are you praising God in zamar praise? When was the last time that you played your instrument for God alone? When was the last time it wasn't about a Sunday service or a prayer night where you just said, hey, I'm just going to pray, just going to praise you, God, through my instrument. I'm just going to worship you through my keyboard or my guitar or the drums or the bass or whatever it might be, whatever instrument it is. When was the last time I felt the power of God in my music, even though there were no words were sung? In our own lives, even if we're not musicians, us too, you know, when was the last time we just listened to some worship and we just praised God and we just allowed that to bring us into his presence, where it wasn't because, you know, we're going to meet a friend, so I better put on some worship music because I need the Holy Spirit to speak to me now because I got to say something to this friend. Or it wasn't because, you know, I'm serving on Sunday, so I better pray up on Saturday night because tomorrow I'm going to be ready for church. You know, it's about our relationship with God to Zamar, praise and worship him. If the team could come up, that would be great. The last word is halah. Halah, and not like halal, halal milk, meat, not like that. No, halah. To boast, to rave, to shine, to celebrate. Halah is the primary Hebrew word for praise. It's actually, so it's the last word we're talking about, but it's actually the primary word for praise in the Bible. And it's where we get the biblical word hallelujah. Hallelujah. You heard that phrase before? Hallelujah. Well, we get it from this word halal, to praise, hallelujah. And it's an exuberant expression of celebration. It's linked to boasting, to raving. Hallelujah. It's not like hallelujah or hallelujah. It's hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's exuberant praise and boasting and raving. Ever met someone who is boasting about something or raving about some experience they've had? Boasting about something. You know, you meet them and they're just talking about something and they're just going on and on about how it's so good and so great and they're enthusiastic about it. And I've got a grand auntie like that. So not my auntie, but my grandfather's sister, a grand auntie, Auntie Muriel, and she's like that. She loves to brag about her grandkids, her grandkids. She just brags about him so much. She's like, did you know that Johnny's doing this? Man, he's doing it. He's amazing. Did you know that little Susie, she's doing this? Well, they're not little. They're all like 30, 40 like me now. But did you know that he's doing this? And oh, their business is going so amazing. Or he just did this thing to his house. Or he just did this. They race little yachts. They got little special names, but they're yachts. He won this competition overseas, you know. Little Johnny, he's so amazing. He's doing great. He got this award, did this. Did you hear the latest news about what's happening in their life? Oh, guess what's happening in Susie? Guess what she's doing? It's like, woo, yeah, awesome. Like, love to hear about Susie and Johnny. But you know what? Good on old Auntie Muriel. Good on her. Good on her for, like, being exuberant in her praise and her boasting and her raving on her grandchildren. Good on her. And maybe you know someone like this, always talking about something or boasting about something that's going on in their lives, some holiday or restaurant or person they've met or something they've done, and they may not know it, and it's directed towards self instead of directed towards God. But what they're participating in, halah, to boast, to rave, to celebrate. It's inward, focused on themselves. They don't realize that praise, that boasting, that raving, that praise is inward focused. It's not focused on God, but they're still doing it. It's directed at the wrong place, but they're still doing it. We will all boast, rave, celebrate about something. But I want to ask you, what would life be like if we were true like this, but our boasting, our raving, our celebrating, our hallelujah was about God and not about some restaurant or some movie we saw or some piece of clothing that we bought? It was about God.